So our next episode is moving with plants.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to contribute to this.
Me either.
I the most I've ever had to move was like 5 plants.
Yeah.
You guys are funny. Okay. So, hello, my name's Kaylin, and I'm the only host right now who's moved with plants. So today on Rough Around the Hedges, we are going to be talking to Kaylin about moving with plants.
Is that how we're starting that?
I don't know. We can try it over again. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
And today we're going to be talking about, you guessed it, moving with plants.
How did they guess it?
Because I spilled the beans.
They read the title.
Well, that, and I also announced it before I announced it again.
Yeah.
It's a little intimidating.
Hopefully you never have to do it.
You might. You might. If you're lucky, you won't.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yes, it's intimidating. It totally can be done. I actually just did it yesterday for a friend, and it was adorable because she was like, she's got like 10 plants, and they're nice. And she's doing well because she finally put her plants in a window. And she just was like, I need to be so gentle with these. And I'm just like, watch me manhandle your plants. But like, I kind of grow all the plants she already has. So like, I know that I can pick this pothos up. And as long as I don't like catch its vine on anything, it's going to be fine. Like I can pick this rubber tree up and shake it around because hers is getting enough light. So it's not going to drop leaves because it's a ficus and I'm touching it. Mm. So like, I just picked it up and put it, you know, nose first, tip first into the car. Set it down on the floor, lean the seat back. I've done this before. And then I also, Mackie, we've taken plants to the state fair. That's almost like moving with plants. Yeah,
state fair transportation.
You've transported your plants and my plants. And we've transported our own plants. Transporting in a car is a little bit of an art. Totally can be done, but I will give you all the insider knowledge to make your journey a safe one.
See, my tactic has always been pack it in as tight as possible and hope nothing tips over. Mm-hmm. And to that effect, I have used packing paper, cardboard, anything to fill spaces.
Other plants.
Yeah.
Shirts.
I mean, yeah, like, so when I've done stuff, like gone to swaps and stuff, I've loaded up, you know, boxes of plants and stuff like that. So
yeah, I would say, okay, now this all depends on size of your plants. If you're like me and you have 7-foot monsters, this is not going to apply to you. Those you'll have to transport separately. But like if you have 4-inch pots and stuff, get a tote or a box, and then shove as many plants in that box as you can fit. Mm-hmm. The goal with this is to either with more plants or with objects like Mackie was saying, like recyclable material or like, you know, a bunch of, you know, pairs of socks or who knows, whatever you have laying around. It's all game. Stuff into the box. So once you have all the plants you can fit in there, nothing moves around. Mm-hmm. This is key. You don't want them to like shift while you're driving and like smash into somebody, you know, or whatever.
Or fall over and all the soil pops out. Or
yeah. So like if you have an empty box and you have one plant in it, it's probably going to fall over. If you have one box with 10 plants shoved in there and nobody moves around, you're going to be great. So 10 out of 10 do recommend that. Boxes are good. Totes are good. Anything that's not going to allow the plant to just tip over. Mm-hmm. So like a shallow tray is probably not going to work unless you have small pots to put in it. And then I just start, you know, let's say I have, you know, 5 totes of plants. I just stick them in the vehicle mm-hmm. that we're driving the plants in. And then you want to make sure the totes don't shift around. So like if you have like a crossover type vehicle and you have one tote of plants in the whole trunk area, it's probably going to move around as you drive. And, you know, that could cause some shifting, some broken pots, you know, whatever.
It never hurts.
Just secure it.
I was going to say, it never hurts to see if your bin fits up front or where there's a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like to buckle my plants in too.
Seatbelts and cup holders. Best things in cars for plants.
Cup holders. Mm-hmm. Cup holders.
I love transporting stuff in the cup holder.
Yep. Come home from the nursery, you put that plant in the cup holder. He's got a nice ride home.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or buckle him in.
But then again, that's how I filled my glove box with Leca and water one time.
Ooh.
Sure.
If you have tall plants, depending on how tall they are, the best place for a plant that is tall is the floor of the passenger side seat. You put the plant pot on the floor and then the rest of the plant can lay in the car. Depending on how tall it is, you can lay the seat back and have the plant at an angle, or you can just have the plant sitting on the floor. And, you know, there's generally enough room like floor to ceiling in that section for you to be able to fit in a pretty tall plant. And if it's even taller than that, You'll have to put the plant in like tip first to the like in through the door facing the seat or in between the driver's seat and the passenger seat. You can just put the plant in there. Once the whole plant is in the car, put the pot on the floor. If the pot is not flat on the floor, you do absolutely need to secure that pot from rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a circle. It's going to roll. Trust me. It's awful. You do not want to be driving and turning a corner and have your plant roll. Ask me how I know. If you are like me and have a pile of wood in your backyard that's cut into various shapes because your partner makes wooden cedar brackets, you will totally have little triangles you can use to like wedge in. Yeah, little chucks. I got little chucks from all plants. Just wedge those in between the pot. Otherwise, just use something heavy or, you know, shove something in. You can also use more plants to shove in to hold that plant from moving. But you want to give it a test before you even drive away. Try to like move it and see if it goes anywhere. If it doesn't go anywhere, you're great. If it moves, fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it in there somehow.
Say another tip with that. If your pot's not flat on the ground, you probably want to secure the soil in by putting like crumpled up newspaper or something on top and securing it down. So you don't have dirt rolling everywhere.
I usually have enough compacted soil that that's not usually an issue, but Mackie makes a super good point. Get some paper or like if you're me, you save all your packing materials from stuff you buy. And so I have crumpled up brown paper from things I bought that I will just put on top of the soil and then I'll use packing tape in like an X, put it over the top of the soil so that the paper doesn't fall out and therefore my soil's not falling out.
Yep.
Love that one. If you are bougie, you could use polyfill, or if you don't have either of those, get like a t-shirt.
T-shirt, paper bags, plastic towels, bags, cardboard.
You want to make sure that there's enough whatever you're putting in there between the between like the tape you use to secure it and the soil. Because if you just like lay down a t-shirt and there's still room in between the soil and the tape that you're like taping it in, it probably you'll probably get some falling out. So I just like to pack it in there so it, you know, puts pressure on the soil and so the soil doesn't usually go anywhere. And, you know, if you're using that method, too, you could totally transport a plant on its side as long as you're not going to, like, break the vine.
Mm-hmm. It's, even then, you can just wrap it in paper. I've seen you do that a couple times. And also, that's how they ship them in, is if the long vines, they do wrap them.
Yeah.
Depending on, so I'm, in particular, I'm looking at my tall elbow. I can't wrap that vine. If it's you like could. I wouldn't trust it to not break if I was going to wrap that vine.
Why?
I don't want to accidentally break my elbow vine.
If you work with the natural bends of the plants, it should be fine.
Some vines will like harden off, so you can't do that. So I guess it just depends on your plant.
Yeah, I guess.
If it was a pothos, absolutely curl those motherfuckers up. String of hearts, like, you can also curl that up.
No, like, you know how with like alocasias, they'll put the paper sleeve on them?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people do that with the big monsteras too, just to prevent leaves from getting caught on stuff and ripping.
Yeah.
So it's not necessary to keep it contained, but just to keep it from getting stuck on stuff. I've also seen people use plastic wrap, which I don't recommend because it's plastic.
It doesn't breathe.
Yeah. But like, again, these are just temporary things. So like, if it's just one day or a couple hours, I usually don't worry about that.
If you're going across country, don't put it in plastic.
Not Dude has a great video on cross country moving with plants.
Nice. And Nate. Hi, Nate. Nate just moved to Pennsylvania from Minnesota. So he knows all about this, but he at least had less plants.
He also packed his really well.
Yeah. His staghorn's got the like luxury treatment.
And yeah, then
lucky to be Nate's plants.
Yeah, yeah, if you're moving long distance, spend the time to wrap them well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't know what's going to shift and squish.
Well, and I was going to say, and then there's Tom who just threw everything away and took a giant cutting of a Tycon.
Yeah, you could also do that. If you have big plants that you can't transport, you can just take cuttings.
Yeah.
Take the top cut. And then throw the rest in a dumpster.
Yeah.
Or sell the butt cut.
Yeah, if you're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
But like, I think, didn't Tom get to like put the plant in his car and it wouldn't fit?
So he just took a cutting. And threw the rest away.
This was before Tycons were big.
Yeah. He bought his for like $20. It's
$40.
Ridiculous.
I remember those days. Nice. I've been here for that entire ride. Sorry.
Yeah. So if, say we're talking moving with like long distance and we're talking U-Haul. I mean, did you move? When you moved into this house,
Them in a vehicle.
Okay.
We didn't have a U-Haul. What did I use to bring my stuff here? I don't remember. I don't know. I had a U-Haul once, but it wasn't when I was in a plant.
I think that's a huge, if say we're doing cross country and, you know, people rent U-Hauls and stuff. And if you're putting plants in U-Hauls, you have to be careful of time of year and weather, especially if this is like a multi-day trip. Like your plant's probably going to be fine not getting the light or whatever.
It'll totally be fine without the light. It's the temperature. You know, like if it's too cold, you're going to need to bundle your plants up because if they get hit with freezing air, their cells will burst.
Well, not even,
your plant will die.
So, because we're saying U-Haul because that's how like 90% of people move, right?
Pods are great too, but don't put your plants.
Yeah.
That sounds like a recipe for spoiler disaster. Spoiler alert,
the back of U-Hauls aren't climate controlled. If it's 30 degrees outside, it's going to be 30 degrees inside of the U-Haul. If it's 120 degrees outside, well, if it's 100 degrees outside, it's going to be 150 degrees in the U-Haul because of, you know, sun.
Yeah.
Baking.
Be mindful of that, especially if you're going to be in the car all day and your plants are going to be back there. Like they might end up, you know, becoming mush by the time you get to where you're going.
Yeah.
The other thing with moving is watering. Do not water right before moving. You're going
to water before.
I usually want my plants to be as dry as possible before I move them.
Mm.
Because especially if it's going to be like a multi-day thing, I feel like if you water your plants and you keep them in the dark for 3 days, you're inviting problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely water the plants before you move, but not right before you move.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be so critical of like this needs water or it's going to die, but it should be drier than probably what you would normally want.
Yeah. Cause if you just watered it and the soil is dripping wet, like one, that's going to be messy and gross. Second, like you just gave your plant all this water and now you're taking away its light, which is the ability to use that water.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have not moved cross country with plants. I've moved from my apartment where I started with plants to here, which is my house. Thankfully I didn't have as big of monsters as I do now.
Right.
I was able to, I tucked plants into dresser drawers, which were actually wonderful compartments for keeping my plants from moving around.
Funny.
I'm so efficient when it comes to moving. But it really just comes down to making sure your plants aren't shifting around as you're driving. It doesn't matter how careful of a driver you are. Something could happen. You could have to slam on your brakes and your plants, you don't want them to go flying. So
definitely have had that happen.
Yeah. Make them secure. Some plants, you know, they might be bushier and larger and more prone to breakage than others. So like things you could do depending on size of the plant. You know, when you go to you might not know, but like, I guess I would say, you know, how, like they wrap up cut flowers when you get a bouquet.
Yeah.
Or it's like a little cone shape.
Yeah.
You do that for your plant, cone it up, drop the plant in it. And then all the foliage will kind of like fold towards the top.
Sleeve it. It's called a sleeve.
Okay. Put your plant on a sleeve. So that will keep the leaves, you know, compact, inner. It'll, you know, take up less space. Like if you have a giant Rojo Conga who has a, you know, 4.5 foot wingspan, that will like.
Yeah. Just be a little careful. Don't force anything.
No. If it's, you know, stiff, it's not going to bend. But like, you know, that guy is pretty flexible. So I could sleeve it.
I
also feel like if you're moving, that's also the perfect time to figure out what you actually want to keep.
Yeah.
What you want to propagate soon, because maybe it'd be easier to just take your propagations, pack them up as propagations, like you're going to mail them.
Yeah.
And then just get rid of the plant and deal with the rest later, because that gives you time so you don't have to set everything up immediately, and it kind of puts a buffer in there.
Yes, definitely. I agree with all of that. And definitely get rid of the things that don't bring you joy before you move, as opposed to taking them with and realizing I don't like this.
Yeah. But in that same breath, if you have like 1,000 propagations just going, maybe you don't need those.
Exactly. Like if you like, it's more like if you have one really nice plant and you're like, this is probably the nicest it's ever going to look. Why don't I take cuttings, start it over? Cause that's probably going to be your best bet. Like if you're moving a giant Brevera mosa maybe, and you aren't.
Ooh, yeah. That would be a hard one to keep nice in a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pick and choose. You know, you don't have to keep everything. You don't have to take cuttings of things you don't want to keep. Don't feel obligated. Also, use this opportunity to purge some stuff.
Pay attention to where you're at, continental U.S. If you're moving up from Minnesota down to, like, let's say Texas, the sunlight, even though it's the same time of year and it's in the quote-unquote same part of the sky, it's going to be so much brighter and harsher down south, closer to the equator than it is up north.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be once you get your plants to their destination.
So, yeah. So if you've got everything in a south window up here and you move to, like, Arizona, you put everything in the south window, everything's going to burn.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if it's, like, cacti and succulents.
Definitely, you can acclimate them. It doesn't take a terrible amount of time to do that. Just gradually introduce them to the amount of sun they'll be getting so they can build up their little suntan. It's an easy way to think of it.
Their little suntan.
Yep. You know, if there's a plant that absolutely can't get damaged, put extra care into packaging it up. If you've ever shipped a plant, packaging a plant up safely like that for moving purposes is also something you can do. To do that, depending on the size of the plant, I would not do this with my Regal Shield, but like a 4-inch pot of something, what you can do is get polyfill. Mm. That is just like, you know, the inside of stuffed animals.
Yeah.
It's a polyester, like tiny fiber, and then you have a bunch of fibers together and it makes a fluff like cotton candy. It's called polyfill. You can find it in craft stores.
Horrible for the planet.
Yeah, it's just plastic. Don't don't overuse this and reuse it if you get it, but pack little tufts of polyfill in between the leaves and then you can sleeve it.
The other thing
and
is,
then the leaves aren't going to shift because the polyfill is, you know, supporting them, and then the sleeve is on the outside so you don't have anything going anywhere. And you can also do the taping the soil down trick with like a crumpled up piece of paper or more polyfill.
I've known people with like large succulent collections, a lot of them when they move like long moves, like multi-day moves, they'll just unpot everything, wrap it up in like paper towels with the label, and they'll just bare root it in a box. Nice. Like I know some Haworthia people, they just tape labels to plants, pull them out of the pot, throw them in a box and call it good.
Crazy. Don't coat your plant in plastic if you're like going to put it in a Ziploc bag, unless it's like a propagation where it can use 100% humidity. It's just going to cook your plant if it gets too hot.
Plants need to breathe.
I sold a giant bird paradise to somebody and I didn't have a giant sleeve to put it in. So what I did is I took various lengths of rope and I started at the bottom and I folded my leaves up. I would tie all of them together at the bottom and then I'd like move up a foot, tie it off with another section of rope until I had all my leaves up at the top of the plant and it was tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took that plant and I did the paper over the soil with tape trick so I could lay it on its side in the back of my car, stuck the plant in through the trunk. My back seat was laying down and then it poked up, you know, to the driver's seat.
Yeah.
I transported this plant from Eagan to Minneapolis and I got paid to deliver it, which is the only reason I did it. But like, that's how I transported that monster.
You know what I've done?
What?
This was packing up for when someone bought my giant, what was that called? Sensation lily? Garbage bags. Like, cause like garbage bag is kind of the same thing of like making a sleeve, but cause they're not gonna, it's just kind of, you're using it to tuck.
Are you putting the plant in the bag or putting the bag over the plant?
I put the bag over the plant.
But it wasn't
and
like.
And so you just kind of like, so you kind of tuck the leaves up and then shimmy the garbage bag on. And so like that kind of helps.
Yeah,
it's just a large plastic bag, right? Like you've seen people.
It is a large plastic bag.
But you're just thinking on a grander scale, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, garbage bags.
If you're moving in, you know, freezing temperatures, you're definitely going to need to bag everything.
Yeah.
You need to bag it so that you contain warm air around the plant so that when it goes outside in the cold, that cold air doesn't hit the plant and damage your cells, the cells of the plant. Then you'll prevent, what's it called?
Freezing.
I was going to say freezer burn, but that's not the plant
cold
term.
Damage.
Frostbite.
Frostbite, cold damage. Cold damage is the term I was looking for. So I know I just said don't put your plants in a plastic bag that's sealed, but in the case of winter moving, absolutely do it.
Yeah.
I mean, even whenever you do it in winter moving, you usually have the top of the, not the top, but like the opening of the bag still open. It's just, there's still breathability. You just don't want it to be like airtight.
For
basically.
Long periods of time.
Yeah.
It could be airtight going from your house to your car.
Right.
That's fine. One time when I moved some people's plants into my house in December, I took a big tote, like bigger than normal. And I was a little worried about, insulation. So I put a blanket in there and then I stuffed the plants in there. And then I put another blanket over the top, a thin one. And then I put the lid on. So it was sealed from the elements. I had some blankets in there. It went from their apartment to my preheated car, drove home, brought it into the apartment.
Right.
See, no, I've issues. Done that without the blankets and just straight up toted to these things.
I was just being extra cautious. This was like my first year with plants.
I think I didn't care about the plants I bought.
Good to know. They also make heat packs. If you didn't know, they're kind of like giant hand warmers that last longer and get warmer. You could also put something like that in a box if you're really worried.
Yeah, and you can get those.
You can buy them in bulk on Amazon.
Yep, and you can get them in like
or more.
48, 72, 96 hour. Like, so you can.
Yeah, you can determine how long you need them for. Obviously, the ones that last longer are going to be a little bit more expensive.
Right.
Do not use hand warmers for this. Those use something else and they will. It's just, yeah.
like a chemical they give off that's bad to breathe?
No, it's, I think it's more for, I learned this in reptile world, I don't know how much carryover it has with plants, but the iron fillings react with the oxygen and bind to it. So a lot of people were trying to use the handworms to save money, and then they would suffocate the geckos they were shipping.
Gotcha.
Not the geckos.
There was a guy in the Hoya group. I mean, he's like me. He just likes to experiment with stuff. He was trying to test heat packs and like really push them to their limit. So he was like doing like...
Was this a local group or a national group?
This is the National Hoya group. So over the winter, he would like check in and say, this is what I found. But he would like put cuttings in one of those insulation, like styrofoam insulation things with a heat pack, and then would throw it in a freezer. And like he would check on it daily to see how long it could go past the heat packs like... They do last a little longer, but what he actually found out first, and this kind of can tie in. So if you're thinking, oh, maybe I can try insulation packs with heat packs, it would actually retain too much heat and it would burn the plant. So the plant was burning in the freezer.
Because the insulation was working too well.
Yeah.
That's because these heat packs, when they're used, they're usually strapped to the top, bottom, or side of the package.
You're supposed to tape the package to the box.
Because the actual heat that they release is like over 100 degrees. Yeah. These packs get hot.
Yeah. You don't want them touching your plant.
Exactly. But like an inch away from the pack, it's more tolerable. And like they're just looking to keep ambient temps up. They're not meant to like actually like be used as the heating source.
Right.
Yeah. So I wonder in that case, if you just had the plant in the insulation box in the freezer, how long that would last?
I'd have to look back. I think he did that.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look at that.
And like, you know, you think about it, you're not shipping plants in styrofoam containers. You're shipping plants in cardboard boxes. So
well,
like,
he was.
And I know he was experimenting, but like, that's probably how they're meant to be used.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's good info.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's getting hidden in the moving with plants episode.
We'll bring it back around with the shipping and plants.
Didn't we do that episode already?
I think I bought more plants off the internet than I have from like stores and local people.
Well, when you say I have to make my shipping worth it, I'm going to buy everything. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, let's see. What else? Moving with plants. Shove your plants in. Do the thing.
Get help.
Yeah, I was going to say, if your collection
is either
large as in quantity or large as in like size of plants, get help.
Get
like,
help.
Unless you have like less than 50 plants and you can easily handle it on your own, just get help. It's not worth it to do it alone.
And like thinking about having to pack everything up like ahead of time in it, like beyond just sticking all your plants in your dresser drawers seems very time consuming.
The other part of that is you also want to probably do your plants last, and those also probably are going to want to be the first thing you unpack after animals.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in state or, you know, just going
from one town to one town,
I would make plants like its own thing.
Yeah.
Like it'd be like the first thing that goes into the new place.
That's usually what I do is the plants is like one of the first trips.
Yeah.
Well, plants are always the last thing I move because I want them to be in the conditions they're used to for as long as possible.
Sure.
And if I'm going to shake it up, I want them to be good until the very last minute. And then I want to set them up first so that way everything's set up and I can get them going because they are living things.
Sure.
But that's just, I'm weird.
Honestly, my biggest challenge moving with plants is figuring out where they're going when they get where they're going.
Yeah.
Like moving from, you know, windows that are reliable and you know how they work, which this seems silly. It's not. to new windows with like new trees and new things blocking your light. And depending on which way your new place faces, especially if it's like at an angle,
will come in handy.
Get a light meter. How many times do I have to tell you this? But like, you know, in our house, when we toured the house, there were no leaves on the trees and the bay window in the living room got so much light at the end of the day. And I was like, this will be great for plants. Like, this is a really big window. It'll be awesome. And then we move in and all of a sudden the trees have leaves. It blocks damn near all the light.
And then you're here for an entire day to see how the sun moves around the house.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, when we moved in the house, we didn't have the south facing windows. So like, I was really limited as to where I could put plants, and I wasn't putting plants outside quite yet. But
that's why I always tell people, if you're moving houses, it takes you a minimum of a year to learn your light.
Sure. To really learn it, yeah.
You can learn it in like 4 months, and like you can like extrapolate how it's going to move, but like until you actually see it, I don't think you actually like have a feel for what it's going to be like. And even then a year, I don't know, I still feel like you're still learning after that.
Sure.
Where am I? I have been in the house. It's 2024. I've been in the house since 2000. So 3 years.
I'm so happy.
I have it down now. It's been 3 years. I would say I had it down a year ago too, but that was still 2 years.
Yeah.
I say I've been in my house for 12 years now, and it took me 2 years to learn the light, and I'm still learning some of my windows, but also I have stopped growing in windows at this point. Oh, I feel sure. I have some stuff in windows, but like that.
Becky mostly has grow racks.
Yeah. Cause it's just easier for me with my collection.
Control, yeah. With top down plants. Yeah. They like the top down light better. That just makes sense.
Top down. Mm. Yeah. It's definitely like, if you like fun puzzles, and also at times they're not fun puzzles. And then you're frustrated and you're like, why aren't my plants growing?
Yeah. Give yourself time for all of this. Like this process is not like a 2 or 3 day process for like an in-town move. It's probably going to take like a week to get everything settled into a place.
Right.
And even more of just moving it around of just minor adjustments.
I am glad I don't have to move with plants for a hopefully very long time. I got, we like, have no plans to go anywhere, but like, oh, it's a workout. Yeah, and then thinking about how big my plants are, just kill me now.
Yeah, I probably be moving in 2-ish years. Stuff might be coming to Kaylin's house for a vacation for a minute.
Well, especially if it's during the summer, we could just like get another cold frame, pop it up.
Because if my Tycon's like anywhere close to this size in 2 years, I'm going to be like,
Kaylin, can you babysit my plant? Yeah. Make sure you ask me before you bring it over. Don't do any of that shit where you show up and say, hey, can you watch my plant?
Why?
But that's how you say yes.
I plan to put it on your doorstep.
That's manipulation.
I'm just going to throw it on your steps with a note and see if they survive the winter.
Yeah. You're going to leave it on my step before winter?
With a note saying, take care of me.
Well, in 2 years, maybe I'll be less worried about it being stolen. So I'll just be like, can this just go out on your patio for a couple weeks?
Yeah, I'll just stop selling plants to people.
Yeah.
So they stop coming to my house.
Yeah, that's moving with plants. Logistics.
Done.
I talked too fast and we didn't get off topic.
Yeah.
We should get off topic. What do you guys want to talk about? That's not plants.
That's not plants?
Yeah.
I don't know. All I've been doing is plant stuff.
Yeah, right?
After we finish recording, I have to go out and water my greenhouse that I haven't looked at in 3 days. Oops.
Oh, I mean, okay, once we move, do we want to immediately water?
No, you want things to settle in and you want to see what they do.
Yeah.
If you put a plant in a spot, you think it's going to work and you water it immediately and then it turns out, oh, it's not getting enough light there. You're asking for problems.
Now we're just acclimating shit over and over again. Yeah,
you're probably just stressing them out. So be prepared for pests.
Be patient, especially if you haven't figured out what the lighting is actually doing. Like, and something might take a little bit.
Probably broke off in the transit. Like, plants are going to take a little damage.
Oh, I mentioned this, but I didn't specifically go into depth. If you have string of hearts or string of pearls or string of anything, especially if you have it untangled and you don't want it to get tangled, and not even in just the big thick strand, but like, let's say you have a 5 foot long string of hearts like I did, and you don't want, because if you coil that up, those hearts are going to like latch onto each other and you're going to have a hell of a time uncoiling that and you're just going to have a mess. Mm-hmm. So what I do, tissue paper, or you can get like the brown craft packing paper, but like wrap, I'm going to call it the ponytail. The string of hearts is in a ponytail, right? Mm-hmm. Wrap the ponytail in the paper so that you have a big long snake. And then you can take the snake and coil it up and safely set that in a box somewhere.
Right.
So that way you can make it more compact for moving and you don't have to worry about like hearts getting snagged or, you know, falling off, string of pearls doing whatever. And then, yeah, coil it up. And then when you uncoil it, your paper will come off the ponytail and you won't have nearly as much tangling as if you had just like thrown the whole thing in a box and coil it up.
Ugh.
That sounds horrible.
Sounds so bad.
Yeah. So definitely that is a great trick for the string ofs. I'm thinking about my turtles, which isn't a really, it's an 8-inch shallow pot. And I don't know how I would move with that because it's not long enough to do the ponytail thing.
Oh, sure.
But like if it's not, if your string ofs, whatever, aren't long enough, you can curl them around in a circle on the top of the pot.
I was going to say like kind of like tuck them.
Yeah, yeah. And just try to do it in like a nice way. So that you can just uncoil them later.
You could also
do it in like a lasagna method where you put like lay a strand over the top, put a paper on, then move another strand over the top, put a paper on. And when I say a strand, I mean like a left side and a right side, sure, not sure. Like
an individual strand.
50 layers. That would just, damn. That is skill, Kaylin.
Did I get it?
I think you did.
I don't think I got it. Listeners, what you missed is there was a fly buzzing around and I was like, oh, fuck you. So I reached up and I clapped my hands to get it And Christine starts laughing uncontrollably. I don't think I got it, but these two think I did.
It was like a little fungus gnat thing. Of
course it was bigger than a fungus gnat. It's a bug that's found its way inside the house.
Oh, spicy.
That was hilarious. You guys are silly. I really don't think I got it.
I forgot what we were even talking about at this point.
We were talking about moving with plants. And now Spicy wants to cuddle with Christine. So Spicy crawled up into the chair Christine is sitting in.
Oh, hi, Spice.
Oh, hi, baby girl. And not Christine's phone on the floor. So it is chaos here right now. And I talked to Spicy. You call her back.
Oh, it's all good.
Okay, baby. Now she came over to me because she loves me. Hi, baby. Moo, moo, moo. I love you. Spicy. You will not catch me talking to babies like this. Just dogs and cats.
Yeah, with babies, you get it away from me.
Hopefully I'm not even in the same room as one. Sorry, guys. Child-free here. Whoa. More dogs, the better, though.
I was going to say, I've replaced my need to nurture something with plants at this point.
Yeah, that's how I curb my motherly instinct. And actually, like, I'm sure actual mothers may feel this way sometimes, too. But some, you know, days I'm like, I just want to get rid of all of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw this a while ago, but plants are the new pets and pets are the new children.
Yeah. 100%. And you have to be totally crazy to have a child like an exotic pet.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, yeah, crazy people own exotic pets and now they have kids.
Yeah.
I saw that one, too. I was like, oh, my God.
Sorry, friends that have children.
Yeah, if you're a listener who has children and are offended,
good on you for continuing the human race, but
someone's gotta do it, but it's not us. We will make sure your children have resources by not allocating them to our children instead.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I've done my responsibility by not adding to the population problem. After me, I don't, it's done. Don't need to worry about it no more.
Yeah.
And then I'll just continue to adopt dog after dog after dog. Fill my house with them. And if I feel like a child, I'll have a foreign exchange student come stay with me for a year.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That sounds like fun.
Practice my Spanish.
Yeah.
Or my Italian.
My plan is just to make friends with the animals outside.
Oh, my God. Mackie, tell everybody the story.
Oh, my God. So
Mackie just texts me. Noah's annoyed with me.
Noah's been getting annoyed with me because I've been establishing contact with the voles in our yard. Which...
The way he said that. We come in peace.
That's how you have to start. You have to make sure animals are not like afraid of you. But like, anyways, I have like these little friendships with like the rabbits, the squirrels, the birds, and some other stuff. And possum. And they basically, anyways, awesome. I interact with them and they interact with me. It's friend. It's fun. It's nice. They're not scared of me. But anyways, I'm talking to these voles, making their little clicky noises at him. And I was like, will you stop? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you do this every time there's an animal around. You befriend it. I'm like, no, I don't.
And he's like, are you Snow White?
Shut up. That's what Brandon said. No, I just like animals and I like to talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got a text the other day. Noah's annoyed with me. I'm like, oh, okay, why?
I'm talking to the animals again.
I want to like read exactly what because it was so...
I was so high when I was texting.
Funny. You're always high when you're texting me.
I'm always high.
He's annoyed because I can talk to the squirrels, the crows. I'm working on the rabbits and some of the birds have started to respond to me. He says I always do this. I find animals and become friends with them. And then I go, I fail to see the problem.
Right.
Maggie's like, me either. Some of them, sometimes some of them come visit too.
Mm. Yeah, I have rabbits who come up and will sit at my feet and I'll give them chips.
They like chips? What flavor?
Corn chips. Oh, probably not the best thing to be feeding them.
My dog's like barbecue.
Better than lettuce.
Dogs. My dog and cat like barbecue chips.
Yeah, it's better than bread. Better than lettuce. You what?
The dogs, well, Roxy and the cats would like barbecue chips.
Leo really liked sour cream and onion chips. And Roscoe likes barbecue chips. Iris likes cheese. I mean, she's like a regular cat. She likes cheese.
Back to the animal thing. I think Noah's a hypocrite because he's got the squirrel altar.
He has a squirrel altar?
It's a post that whenever we eat outside, if we have leftovers, we'll put a piece of food on it and we come down and we wait for a squirrel to see it. Then they sit on the post and they eat it and we watch. It's the squirrel shrine.
Should start like putting little like trinkets on there too.
That's what I want to do with the
crows.
Like
a Shrek Buddha.
My grandpa got put in the newspaper back at home for taming a wild squirrel.
Oh, funny.
I don't want to tame these things. I just want to be able to interact with them.
It didn't like come in the house or anything, but like if you went out on the porch, he called it Little Red. Little Red would come up. He would sit on your lap. You could feed him from your hand. Yeah. Like it was, that kind of stuff. Like the picture in the paper was my grandpa sleeping on a hammock with the squirrel on him.
Oh, like a baby, but a squirrel.
Yeah.
See, like I want the interaction, but I don't want to touch them and I don't want them to touch me.
I don't want them. Brandon has a jar of peanuts in the garage for the ravens.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, he's got the unsalted ones and he's like, there I don't leave them out for no reason.
Yeah.
Because the squirrels would eat them and we hate the squirrels. But he's like, when I see them, I will leave them peanuts. And then
we're going to befriend them.
Yeah. Befriend them and then maybe they will bring us things.
See, and I'm trying to convince Noah to let me breed some mealworms so I can make friends with the blue jays.
Mm-hmm. I saw a cardinal the other day. He had a really nice mohawk.
Dude, we were in Hawaii and we saw these things. I was like, those look like cardinals.
And were
but they were like gray with red crest, but they were shaped just like cardinals. So we were like trying to figure out, oh, we should look them up to see what they are. And they're red crested cardinals. I have never been so disappointed in my life that they were actually fucking
just cardinals
in Hawaii.
I was about to say this sounds like female cardinals.
But they were the males.
Yeah.
They're not as bright.
Males and females, they look the same.
Yeah.
Well, the males get bright red and the females are brown.
These are not the traditional. These are red.
Oh, different species.
Sure.
I took an ornithology class.
Which, by the way,
I don't know my cardinal species.
We had a flock of birds that knew me because I would feed them food. Every time we'd go out there, I'd give them like chips and stuff like that. So they would come and they'd see me. They'd fly down and be like waiting for their food. And Noah was, of course, getting onto me for that, too. The people at the resort were loving it because I was friends with the animals.
I had to stop. We are so off topic.
That's good. We have time to kill.
I had to stop putting food, like bird food, out because the local ducks got pretty insane.
Like I had insane size, or like they started doing crazy things.
Like ducks would come to our
patio.
Starting
multi-level marketing scheme.
So I had 2 years ago, I did like a traditional bird feeder, but then I also had a ground bird feeder for the birds that like mourning doves and stuff that like to eat off the ground. But that attracted the ducks from the like water reservoir. What do they call it? Not a pond, but the, it's like a special pond.
Reservoir.
Catches the drainage, whatever.
Yeah.
Like a giant rain garden.
Yes. The ducks from that came over and started eating and we had like so many ducks.
How many ducks?
Like 12.
I fail to see the problem.
I was going to say, I fail to see the problem. Because back in Texas, I grew up on a ranch. And this is what we do. Anytime we'd have leftovers, we'd go feed the animals.
Yeah.
There were horses, cows, like everything. And then when you run out of that stuff, you just feed it to nature.
Yeah.
Or
these
to
are
cats.
Kind of bad advices, you guys.
You should not be feeding wild animals.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about.
I know.
Remember the turtle that was in your driveway?
Yep, that happened too.
Yep.
There was a goose going crazy 2 days ago. For being in like a suburb in Maple Grove, there's so much wildlife.
We have deer and rabbits that eat all my plants.
Let's see. Right now we have rabbits who are worshiping our pear tree because every now and then it'll drop an unripe pear and then they eat it. In about 3 or 4 weeks, we'll have the alcoholics come through, which is where we have the possums, the raccoons, and mice who come and get drunk off the fermenting pears in our yard.
Funny.
I'm excited for that this year. We got.
I hope you
cameras.
Send us videos.
Say we got better cameras this year. But nothing beats walking down the driveway and seeing like mice go backwards and then just start rolling and then they just stop.
Funny.
They roll down the driveway?
Yep.
Oh my God.
At first they start off in circles and then they just kind of trip and fall and keep going.
Funny.
The rabbits get drunk too and then they like can't go in a straight line. It's hilarious.
I mean, don't they not go in a straight line anyway?
They're rabbit? Sloppy. Yeah. They get sloppy when drunk.
Oh my God. Speaking of, there's a rabbit out in my coleus patch.
Oh yeah.
Spicy. Heard that. Now she's going to go check it out.
Plan of the week?
Good question. It's always a challenge because I never think of this ahead of time.
Well, I know what mine is because we talked about it in the last episode. I'm doing my silver dragons.
Yes, you did. I need to double check what my last plan of the week
was. I'm going to do my... Actually, no, I already did that one. I was going to say my Cyphistemma, but I did that like last week.
Yeah, so silver dragon, alocasias, fantastic alocasias. Everyone should have one. They're great. Do it. They look great.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my Boea volubilis.
Say that one more time.
You did that not too long ago.
Did I?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
I can.
Oh, your onion thing?
Yeah. It's just looking so good. I guess I can't do that one.
Yeah, you did it on June 16th.
Oh, shoot. The one I was going to pick was my 6:30 episode 54 plan of the week. Good thing I checked. Don't want to have another Petiolaris episode.
How about a cactus? I got a Brazilipuntia brasiliensis.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Brazilian opuntia. It's a tree. It's a tree cactus.
Tree cactus.
Yeah, it gets big. I killed my other one, and my friend's like, I'm going to kill this, take
it. So what makes it a tree cactus? Is it? It doesn't have any kind of woody growth, okay, does
so
it?
Okay, so like opuntia, you know, those are the cactus pads. Those standard just pads. Mm. These ones do that, but they have a trunk.
So they do have woody growth? And they literally go like
20, 30 feet tall. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they're literal cacti. They grow spines and everything.
Interesting. That's cool.
Yeah.
How come I can't search this thread for my past fiddly or my past plan of the weeks?
I don't know.
You start tagging them with, oh, that wouldn't help. I was going to say, like, tag them with the week of the episode, but
sure.
That required keeping track of what episode. Oh,
and then the thread just started. Well, hold on. I can do one more search. Shit, what was the planter? Why am I like this? Oh, yeah. I feel like I did this one recently. Okay, we're just going to do it. Mycalathea orbifolia. I said at the conservatory on Saturday when plant group went that I was like, I don't have any calatheas anymore. It's a lie. I have a calathea. It's a Mycalathea orbifolia. And it's going nuts. I can't believe it. And it's like, it's not a perfect plant. It has brown. Like,
where is it?
It's over in that window.
Oh, okay.
I just up potted it from like an 8-inch pot to like a 10-inch pot, and it's going to go nuts. I tried to disturb the roots minimally as possible. It should be good. He's in a south facing window, so he shouldn't be mad about that. The up pot, that is. But like, I am getting plate size leaves, and he's got so many new leaves coming up right now. I am so excited. He's so big. It's absolutely a problem. He's a monster. I just love him, even though his leaves aren't perfect. And I can't actually figure out how to get his leaves perfect. And maybe it's a fungus and I should just start spraying him with copper fungicide and hope that works. But like, I have other things to do. And I love him the way he is, crispy edges and all. Yeah. So I'm just happy he's growing and happy and not dead, because you know how many people killed their orbifolias when those came out?
Me. I'm one of them.
You two at the least. Everybody else at the most.
I'm three of them. I've tried it many times.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should go observe it after we wrap this episode, because I would like to show it off.
Perfect.
And then cool. I can take my picture for the Discord.
Yeah. Reminder, we haven't said this in a little while. Join the Discord if you haven't. Make sure you react to the guidelines post so that you can talk to us. We've got a couple lurkers, which is fine. You can lurk. But if you ever want to like talk to us, you have to go say, yes, I agree.
Yeah, you'll be locked out of the rest of the server if you don't agree to the guidelines that are more like actual rules.
And you're missing a lot at that point.
You're missing a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have tons of tabs, tons of themes. We want to see your plants of the week. Yeah. So show us your plants of the week. We love pictures. We like questions. We like to have fun. And then also, what was I going to say? Oh, leave us a review. You like the podcast.
Yeah.
We have to offset our 1-star review, so we need a couple more 5-star reviews. So please, if you like the podcast, whatever platform you're listening to it on, and then all the other ones, please go leave us a review, give us some stars.
It'd be great.
We want 5 stars, but we'll take less if you really think we deserve them.
5 or nothing. Do it 5.
Just don't give us 1-star reviews unless you are really mad at us, in which case you should probably talk to us.
Yeah.
See what we can do to improve.
That's what
maybe
I want
less to swearing. Maybe Kaylin stops being a pervert.
That's never gonna happen.
As I say,
hey, that's what makes this podcast fun.
Yeah, then we're not being ourselves.
It's not staying rough.
Hey, I'm nice. I watch my mouth on this podcast.
I don't.
I do.
Do you remember that one time I said an inappropriate word Christine had to bleep on?
And you could still hear it.
Technically, it was 2 words.
Yeah. That's why I watch my mouth, because I don't know what I'm allowed to say. And some of the things that come out of my mouth.
But Mackie, I say worse things. You know, and I get away with it.
Back.
You don't have to.
And with that,
it's part of our charm.
Thanks again, everybody.
Cool. And if you want to know what that inappropriate word was, hit me up. I'll tell you. I can't say it on the episode. Christine will just bleep it out again because we don't want an explicit rating. But it was fairly funny. If inappropriate. We're going to start a jewelry line. That was a fun one. Okay.
We do need to revisit the plant party bus and driving around to different nurseries.
Do you guys want to go on a plant party bus around the Twin Cities if you live here, or if you want to come visit for a plant party bus tour?
Join the Discord.
Yeah, let us know.
Let's talk about it. Maybe
if there's enough support and you actually want to go, hit us up.
We'll figure it out.
It'll probably cost $35 to $50 based on my estimate of whatever. Yeah. But you know, if more people show up, it'll cost less, and then we can go look at plants together.
Yeah.
Or wouldn't it be fun if we went out to Eau Claire to Down to Earth?
That's a big trip, but yeah.
I mean, if it's a party bus.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, logistics up in the air. If you're interested, let us know. It sounds like fun, right? But we need people to commit to it before I get around to planning.
Yeah.
But I know a guy who's got party buses. He's buddies with Brandon.
And stay rough, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Join the Discord. Leave us a review.
Stop talking. Stay rough.
Bye-bye.